May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number one. Number one. Great God, how infinite art thou, what worthless worms are we. Let the whole race of creatures bow and pay their praise to thee. Hymn number one.
Thank you. from the Holy Word of God. We'll read together the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49. Isaiah chapter 49. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have laboured in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now, saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nations abhorreth, to a servant of rulers. Kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and, lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thy waste and thy desolate places, and the land of thy destruction, shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have, after thou hast lost the other, shall say again in thine ears, The place is too strait for me. Give place to me, that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, Who hath begotten me these? Seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro. And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone. These, where had they been? Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people, and they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders, and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee, with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet, and thou shalt know that I am the Lord. For they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, Even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Saviour and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. May God bless to us that reading from his holy word, and may he teach us how to pray. kind and gracious and most merciful Lord, thou hast given us once more an opportunity to gather in this house of prayer. And then once more, Lord, we ask thy presence. We seek thy face now in prayer. We desire, Lord, that thou wilt lift up the light of thy countenance upon us, that thou wilt shine with light into our souls, that thou wilt shine thy light upon thy own word, and reveal to us, Lord, thyself in the reading and in the preaching of thy word. Lord, do remember each who gather here this evening. Lord, we pray that thou wilt meet each case that is before thee here this evening. And Lord, we would remember those not able to be here. We bring before thee each, Lord, and pray that thou wilt grant them the same blessings that we desire here. We bring before thee those that are listening in this evening, and we pray, Lord, that thy blessing might rest upon thy own word. And Lord, we pray for thy help as we gather for worship. Lord, thou knowest the busyness of our minds, the multitude of our thoughts. Lord, we do pray that this evening as we gather around thy word, that our thoughts might be drawn heavenward, that we might know those sweet drawings, that sweet influence of thy Holy Spirit, that we may know that moving of our desires, our affections toward thee, and that the love of Christ might be made known to each one. O Lord, we pray that thou wilt pour out upon us thy Spirit. Lord, we gather in this house of prayer for worship. And we thank thee for thy mercy in bringing us here safely this evening. Lord, we pray that there might be that purpose in our gathering. Yes, Lord, we gather for worship. But Lord, is there not that desire in the hearts of some that they might go away from this place with a true token? Is there not that desire, Lord, that there might be that given to them from thee, which they did not have before they entered this house of prayer? And so, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt satisfy the longing soul, that it might please thee to open thy gracious hand and shower down blessings from on high. Lord, we do thank thee for thy word and that which is made known to us in that word, the glorious gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And Lord, we do pray that thou would open our hearts to receive thy word. Lord, that we may be among those that receive. We think of that glorious gift, Jesus, the gift of gifts appears to show that God is love. May we be found receiving of that gift. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt bring us to thy feet, to pour out our hearts before thee, to plead for that mercy, for the forgiveness of sin, and for Christ to be revealed and made precious, that the friend of sinners, that the sinner's hope. Oh, we do thank thee, Heavenly Father, for thy beloved Son, and all that is revealed in thy word of his person and work. And Lord, may thy Spirit apply these things with divine power, that we may know personally that all this was done for you. Do seal these things into our souls personally. May we have a personal knowledge. May there be those things that are sealed into our hearts, a witness in our own hearts that we are born again of the Spirit of God. Lord, do remember each who have gathered. Lord, do grant thy blessing, Lord, upon them each. Lord, thou knowest each need, each case, each concern. Lord, thou knowest those that may come into this house of prayer at the end of this week, and as we come toward the weekend, and they feel weary, and maybe there's the busyness of their minds, and we pray, Lord, that the service this evening may be a time of strengthening for those that feel to be weak. And Lord, we pray for any who may feel out of the way, those, Lord, that may feel to be passed by, any that may feel to be forsaken, like a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Oh, Lord, we pray that thou wilt meet with them and draw them to thyself. We pray thy loving arms might embrace and uphold and support and grant, Lord, that there might be that leaving different to how we came. Lord, remember that as children and the young people, we thank thee for them. Lord, we pray that thou wilt work in this young and rising generation. Lord, that thou wilt call them by thy grace while they are still young. Lord, that it might please thee to pour out thy Spirit upon this rising generation. Lord, that there may be some even here that are to be used in days to come, used of thee for the good of thy church, for thy honour and glory. It might be those, Lord, that will in due time be sent forth to labour, to minister thy word. And there might be those mothers in Israel, Lord, that are raised up. There might be those pillars in the church. Lord, we pray that thou, in thy mercy, Lord, look upon Zion and grant, Lord, thy rich blessing. Lord, we live in difficult times. Lord, there is much that causes us concern. And Lord, we come to towards the end of another year, and we look forward to the year to come, and we wonder what we might live to see. Lord, may we be encouraged as we look back over this past year. Oh, do help us, Lord, to see the many things thou hast done. Help us to recognise thy gracious hand working in supplying and satisfying the need of thy people. Help us each personally to see those things that thou hast done. By way of prayer I heard and answered. Lord, help us to gather our stones together. It might be the time, as we come to the close of another year, to take stock and to ponder the path of our feet and to see those many helps and see all in the light of what we deserve, which, as we are sinners, Lord, we deserve not the least of thy mercy. And yet thou art merciful and very gracious. And Lord, though some have walked through dark and deep waters, and some have had great and difficult things, yet, Lord, when we see all in the light of what we deserve, we have to fall before thee and worship thee. And we must say that thou hast not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Then, Lord, as we come and we think of the unknown way, the untrodden steps of our lives, Lord, maybe there are those that fear, whose hearts have anxiety and concern, shrinking from what might be. Lord, we pray that we may come as that Syrophoenician woman who came worshipping, saying, Lord, help me. And Lord, is that not true worship? When poor, needy sinners call upon thy great and holy name and ask for that help. Oh, we do pray then that thou wilt bring us each to truly pray. Lord, thou didst say to Solomon, ask what I shall give thee. And Lord, we would come and plead the name of Jesus. We would ask for those things we feel to need. Oh, we would ask for the forgiveness of sin. Oh, we would ask for a heart truly repentant. We would ask for that soft and contrite spirit. We would ask, Lord, for a tender conscience, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. We would ask for that spirit of grace and of supplication. We would ask, Lord, that thou wilt conform us to the image of thy dear Son. Lord, we pray that thou forgive us our many failings and sins. We ask for that washing in the Redeemer's precious blood. Or we would seek to be clothed with his righteousness. Lord, we would seek that thou would show us each that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. No, we would see it as such while that time is lengthened out. Lord, we would plead with thee that none of us be left to reach the end of our days and still be found trusting in our own righteousness. Lord, may we see it for what it is. For it is insufficient. It is stained and dyed with sin. It's nothing worth. And Lord, do help us to cast it aside and come to thee just as we are and seek for that robe of Christ's righteousness. Oh, that spotless life. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt wash us and clothe us, that we may be found at that great and awesome day and be seen in Christ Jesus, that we may be found in him. And oh Lord, who grant us that abundance entrance into glory. Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? Lord, remember our nation. Oh Lord, remember our king and royal household. In mercy, remember them each, we pray. Oh Lord, we pray the same for our Prime Minister and those in government. Lord, remember them in mercy. Lord, they need thy help to govern. Lord, they need thy guidance. Oh Lord, we pray that thy hand might be upon them, that thou use them for thy honour and glory, for the good of thy people, the good of thy church in this land, that thou turn the tide of sin and iniquity. Lord, that thou wilt bring us into better days, that there might be, Lord, many turning from idolatry to serve the living God. Oh, Lord, do remember this church and congregation. Remember, Lord, those that bear office in this place. Lord, do glorify thyself in the church here. Lord, do bind them together in unity and in peace. Do add to them such as should be saved. Build up this church, we pray, in their most holy faith and in numbers. May there be that travailing, that wrestling in prayer. May this place be the birthplace of many souls. May it be testified concerning this house of prayer. There the Lord met me. There the Lord blessed me. Lord, do gather in from the congregation into the church. Gather in from this neighbourhood into this house of prayer. Oh Lord, do work mightily, we beseech thee. Oh, we pray, we humbly pray, do thou it for thy great name's sake. Lord, we pray that thou wilt get all the honour and the glory. We ask, Lord, that thou wilt remember and be with any who are in affliction. We pray thy healing, restoring mercies. We pray, Lord, for those in older years with the infirmities of body and mind. Lord, as they come to the evening time of life, may thy light shine brighter and brighter. May the path be illuminated that leads to glory. May they see that they are on that straight and narrow way. And a few more steps, a few more sighs, a few more tears, and then to be landed safe at last. O Lord, leave none of us to be left to ourselves. But hold us up, hold us fast, keep us near to thee, grant us that close walk with thee. Oh, may we be found following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. So lead us, guide us and keep us, and forsake us not. Lord, do fulfill all thy precious promises in our lives, we beseech thee. Lord, as we turn to thy word now, do, Lord, grant us each the help we need, one to speak, each of us to hear. And, Lord, may thy name be magnified. We ask that thou forgive us all our sin. All that is spoken amiss, we pray, forgive. That which is thine, Lord, do own and bless. And let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 199. Calm, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, O fix me on it, mount of God's unchanging love. Hymn 199.
Thank you.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49. With the Lord's help, this evening I'll speak to you from verse 11. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 11. And I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, the 11th verse. And I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. It was really this first clause that drew me to the text this evening. And I will make all my mountains away. And what a precious thing if the Lord speaks that to you and me when we find we have mountains in our lives. This beautiful chapter speaks of Christ. It speaks of his calling to that glorious office, to his being sent forth to bring good tidings to Israel. For he came first to his own, and this is what is prophesied of, his coming, and his coming to his own, the Israelite. And then we have that revealed of their rejection. You only know, for the most part, it was so. And John speaks of it in his opening chapter of the Gospel. He came to his own, and his own received him not. And then there's that encouragement. That encouragement. Oh, this is Christ. I have laboured in vain. I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. This is Christ the servant. And we are told then, and now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, though they would refuse. They were waiting for the Messiah, they rejected the Messiah. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And you know he was sent to the Gentiles. And a great ingathering, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the day of Pentecost onward, and a gathering in, the outpouring of the blessings of the gospel among the Gentiles. And we come then through to our text. And I will make all my mountains away. Well, friends, this is Christ. This is the Lord speaking. I will make all my mountains away. No, I do hope you and I do pray you and I are given a sweet revelation of this evening. He says, I will make all my mountains away. It's a precious thought, isn't it? He will do it, friends. And those of you maybe this evening, and you're fretting over things, you're wondering how things will be, you're desiring something. Maybe it is an immediate connection to the preaching of the gospel, the blessing of the gospel, and the mountains that stand between, in the receiving of that gospel. Whether it is you look around at the world at present, and the many hindrances, the many difficulties. Maybe you're looking at your own children, or you're looking at the young people, the rising generation, and what many hindrances there are. And how can, amongst all the distractions and everything that seems to obstruct, how can the gospel penetrate? How can it enter? How can it overcome? How can it reach the hearts and touch the lives? When there's so many things that seem to stand in the way, I will make all my mountains away. Oh, the Lord will do it. Oh, he will be inquired of. It's not for you and I, friends, to sit back in a prayerless state. It is for us to get to our knees and plead. It is for us to call upon his great and holy name and to seek that he will fulfill that which he has promised to do. And may the Lord lay up these things in our hearts and bring us to plead these promises. That the Lord will overcome, that he will overrule, that he will bring about that which we see a need of. And, oh, that he might do it. Do thou it for thy great name's sake. Oh, that he might get the glory, that he might get the praise, that sinners might be saved. Saved by grace. Saved with an everlasting salvation. Oh, there's so many things that hinder, aren't there? You know, we think, naturally speaking, of a mountain. You desire to go from one place to another. Oh, but there's a range of mountains in between. It's got to be overcome. Stands between where you are and where you want to be. And who has the strength? Who is sufficient for these things? Oh, the ministers of the gospel, are they sufficient? Is a mere man in a pulpit sufficient for these things? Who can give the word the power it needs? The man in the pulpit? Friends, it must be the power of God. Oh, the mountain that needs to be overcome, who's the strength for it? Who is sufficient for these things? Oh, the Lord is, isn't he? Our sufficiency is of him. Oh, that there might be many of you, all of you, as you come to the close of this year, you look back on all the services that you've held, either here or in the school when you were temporarily. Think of all of those sermons that were preached. You pray the Lord will follow with his blessing. And he might yet still bless that which was done. And bless the means that he has provided in this day and generation. that those services might be listened back to, the Lord might still own and bless his own word. He might use it to make the mountains flow down, that he might use it to glorify his great and holy name. And then you think of the year to come, and a list of engagements that stretch out in this place, and the ministers that are due to preach among you here. What a mountain! All of those words that the Lord needs to give, all of those needs throughout the year that are unknown at present, the Lord knows. Those engagements that were made last June, July and August for this year coming. Oh, and may the Lord lay these things to our heart. You know, they may prove to be his appointments. You make these arrangements, these engagements. At times they feel so to be so man-made. And they have to be made by man. But do we pray the Lord will have that overruling on them? It might be for his honour and glory that those appointments that are made might be divine appointments, that they might, the Lord's messengers might come with the Lord's message, prove to be the Lord's messenger in that message, and bring that word in season for those times ahead next year. It's through the foolishness of preaching the Lord has purposed. Friends, may we each be found seeking his application of the word, that the power and the unction of the Spirit might be upon it, that he might get all the glory, that Christ might have the preeminence in all things. But we're sinners. And I wonder how many here this evening know some obstructions as you come to hear the word. I wonder how many come into the house of God and you have a bright desire. You desire that the Lord will speak to you, will bless your soul, but oh, what a mountain of distractions. What a multitude of thoughts. What great opposition there is at times. No, maybe not even your circumstances. Maybe you come in what you feel is the right frame of mind and the right spirit, but it's as though Satan followed you in through the door, sits down next to you in the seat, and doesn't let up until you leave. What a difficulty. A mountain of difficulty. We face it, don't we? We face it in our family worship. We face it in our private reading and meditations. We face it in our public worship. We thank the Lord for the quietness of our surroundings, but it doesn't guarantee the quietness of our mind. Oh, the mountain of unbelief, the mountain of doubts at times. You know, you maybe come into the house of God and you hear something, and you seem to have to lay your fingers on it. And then as you go out the chapel door, it's gone. You almost had it in your grasp, as it were. And then it's taken away because, oh, that enemy comes in and he says, well, it wasn't for you. That wasn't for you. Oh, he seems to take it back. He takes it away from you. You can't quite keep it. You begin to doubt it, to question it. You start reasoning. You reason on the ground of your sin and your failing. And you forget the mercy and the grace of God, who freely gives to poor, undeserving sinners. And your sin and your personal failing seems to remove that which the Lord had given. Oh, what a thing. I will make all my mountains away, and my highways shall be exalted. Think of those words in Isaiah 40. The Lord Jesus. Oh, there was that forerunner, wasn't there? It's spoken of in prophecy in Isaiah 40. John the Baptist, that voice that was crying in the wilderness. We're told the effect, every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. What a wonderful thing if the Lord would fulfill that in Swavesey Chapel at the close of this year and in the coming year. The valleys to be exalted, that the deep and dark and difficult places that have been walked out, there might be a lifting up, that great levelling out through the preaching of the gospel, that the valley bottom lifted up, and the hills and the mountains made low, and those crooked things made straight, and the rough places made plain. The glory of the Lord is revealed in these things. I will make all my mountains away. You know, there are those things personally in the lives of the living family of God. Oh, there's a path to be walked. We're each on that path. We're on a path. We're living our lives. But are we on that right path? Are we on that straight and narrow way? Are we walking in the footsteps of the flock? Are we followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises? You say, what's a sign? Are you looking for the easy way? Is that what the sign you're looking for? The easy path? Is the easy path the right one? Is the easy way the right way? Is the one that's free from mountains the right path for you? Would the Lord bring you onto a path strewn with obstacles and mountains? Or would he lead you in a path of completely plain, flat, level and straight, one of ease? When you've no reason, when you read the word of God, you've no reason to expect it. If I am on that right way, we're told it is through much tribulation. We are not promised an easy path. We're not promised a path that's free from mountains. We're not promised one that's plain sailing, as we might use that phrase. But we are promised his help. We are promised his help. There is his presence in it. We're promised his divine direction. And, oh, what a promise that is. When maybe you find unexpectedly something rises up before you. Something not looked for. Something not asked for. Something set before you. Oh, the Lord says to you this evening, and I will make all my mountains a way. That there's a path that leads over it. There's a path of his direction. A path that he'll guide you in. A path that he'll lead you in. So that mountain will be made away. That mountain will be overcome. That mountain will be one that you praise the Lord for. It came to me as you were singing that middle hymn. I'll come to the hymn in a moment. But, you know, I said at the beginning, my mind had been particularly on that first part, I will make all my mountains away. But in the middle hymn, it seemed to come to me, and my highways shall be exalted. You see, there's a path, isn't there? The Lord is to make a way for his people. He doesn't promise to take the mountain out of the way. But he says he'll make it a way. That which is an obstruction will be made to be a way. There's a path to lead you up that mountain. And you may look at that mountain and you think, well, I can't cope with it. Well, no, you can't. You may say, I don't have the strength for it. No, you don't. You say, well, I don't have the grace to endure it, to stick it out, to get to the top of it. No, you don't. But he does. And he will give strength equal to each day. His grace is sufficient. And his strength is made perfect in weakness. And friends, that mountain, that highway that leads up and over that mountain, it's a way in which he will be exalted and you will not be. He will increase and you will decrease. And he will raise in your love and your worship. And you will see more of yourself in it. But what a precious thing if that way of his making through the thing of that he has set before you. And that way leads you to see his glory. That mountain that's before you is one in which you will prove him. And when you reach the summit of it, you'll praise him for it. I don't know about you, but I naturally speaking now, I love mountains. I love mountains. I had the privilege to travel down to the Pyrenees. I went up to the top of a very high mountain, the highest mountain I've been up. And I stood at the top of that mountain. What a sight. Oh, what a sight. Oh, there was a lot of effort to get there. But how worth it it was. When the view was seen on that clear, bright day. Well, what did the dear man of God Moses prove? He was taken up, wasn't he, by the Lord. He went up from the plains. Up from the plains of Moab. The Lord set him, brought him to the up unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah. And he looked out from the top of that mountain. Oh, could we but climb where Moses stood and view the landscape o'er. Oh, that we might get to that top. We might see and view the promised land. Oh, he stood and viewed that landscape. And the Lord showed him all of the promised land. We're told in verse 2 of, verse 1 of Deuteronomy 34, and the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the uttermost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees unto Zor. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham and unto Isaac and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. Oh, to see that land. And friends, in this sense, when the Lord brings something into your pathway, oh, and you wonder why, and what can be the purpose of it. And you might say, when you're at the bottom of that mountain, you might say, I don't need this. I don't need this in my life. I don't need this trial. I don't need this affliction. I don't need this great mountain. I could do without this being in the way. Friends, the Lord has set it there. Just as he formed with his own hand the natural landscape, so he's ordered everything in your path and in mine. It isn't there by chance. It's been put there by divine purpose. And it must be. It must be right. Oh, the way may we be given a view of it. Oh, that we might have our mouths stopped. Oh, that we might not murmur, but rather fall before him and seek for that help that we need. Oh, that we might plead what the Lord says this evening in our text, I will make all my mountains away. Rather than moan and grumble and murmur, rather may we pour out our heart, tell him our weakness, tell him how insufficient we feel, tell him how much we are in need of his grace, his strength, his mercy, his help, and plead the promise. We have other promises, don't we? We have this in Isaiah 45, verse 2, I will go before thee. I will go before thee. Are you, say it rightly, are you letting him? Are you? Are you waiting for him to lead you? Or are you trying to get ahead of you, of him? Are you desiring that he will lead you? You know, friends, do you want to tackle it yourself? Well, maybe we do at times. We want to get on with it. Let's get going. Up and at it, we say. Have we got the Lord leading? Is he leading us? Friends, if he's not leading us, we're liable to take a wrong turn. Oh, we think that the route will be this way. How often it's this turn and that turn and this turn and that turn? To get up that mountain, it's not the straight line up. There's a wandering and meandering path. It's a right way. It's the way the Lord leads. And how often something's put before us and it was unexpected, but we suddenly think we know the answer. We know the route. We know the way it should be dealt with. We know how to approach it, how to overcome it, how to deal with it. And yet it wasn't there yesterday and it's there today. I think we've got the answer. I will go before thee. Oh, are you seeking that the Lord will lead you? Seek for grace to follow. Oh, Lord, lead. Give me that grace to follow, that close following. Oh, that he might lead you in that right way. I will go before thee. Make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. I will make all my mountains a way. My mountains a way. Or maybe you feel this evening you've never felt more insignificant. Maybe the mountain maybe next year's a mountain that you feel insufficient for. Maybe the Lord is using it to show you maybe something of yourself. And in the light of that mountain, oh, how small you seem. Maybe you approached it and you thought you were something, thought you had something, but now this thing's come and oh, how little you seem. How little maybe you seem to have. Or maybe you feel like we read of in Matthew's Gospel. You feel to be one of these little ones. These little ones. Oh, wonderful thing if you're one of these little ones. Maybe you're little in your own estimation. Maybe you're little in others' estimation. It's a wonderful thing if you're a little one in his eyes. One of his little ones. Now we read, don't we, in Matthew 18, verse 14, even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. He's going to let one of his little ones perish on the mountain, lose his way, lose her way, fall a prey, be devoured by the enemy, not make it through, not reach the summit and view the wonderful way the Lord has led.
The Lord will be robbed of the praise of one of these little ones. Friends, he has a wonderful ability to put strength in those little ones. And what does he say to them? He says, "Fear not. Fear thou not." This is Isaiah 41, verse 10. "Fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee." You little ones this evening, and you look at that mountain, you've never felt so little this evening. He says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." I will do it. And thou wilt have to acknowledge, you will have to acknowledge that he has done it. You'll have to give him the glory that he brought you through. He maintained you and kept you. He brought you safely through. And you'll look back over that path, and it will be a path of exaltation. Oh, you'll look at that way the Lord has led you, and though it seemed a crooked way, though it seemed at the time a way maybe of confusion to you, you'll look back and there will be that nevertheless afterward, and an acknowledging that it was the right way, it was the best way, and there will be the glory given to Almighty God, who does all things well. And how many have had to prove it when the Lord has brought them through a mountain of affliction, and they've looked back and they've thanked him for it. The Lord met them in it. The Lord blessed them in it. They wouldn't have it any different. They wouldn't change it for a moment. Oh, what a path of exaltation it is. The highway is exalted. There is that mount. Oh, that mount. Praise the mount. You'll thank him for it. Oh, fix me on it. Mount of God's unchanging love. Oh, you questioned it at the bottom. You reasoned that he'd forsaken you. You reasoned that he'd led you in the wrong way. But it's a mountain of love. Everything he does is love toward his people. Oh, the rod is dipped in love. And that mountain, you'll see it. And you'll view it one day as being the mountain of his love. And then you'll raise your Ebenezer. "Here I raise my Ebenezer." On the mountaintop, you build your little stone heap of the helps of the Lord to get you to that place. And you'll worship him, and you'll acknowledge it was him and him alone that did it. "Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come." And what an encouragement these mountains are. The Lord's preparing his people for the day of their death. What a sweet confirmation when they get to that brink of Jordan and they look back and there's, oh, mountain after mountain after mountain was made away. And that final passage. Oh, the icy waters of death. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." And he says, "I will make all my mountains away, and my highways
shall be exalted. Amen.
God willing, Mr. James Gudgeon will preach next Lord's Day, Mr. Graham Hadley on Friday evening next week. Let us close with hymn 961. 961. Be still, my heart. These anxious cares to thee are burdens, thorns, and snares. They cast dishonour on thy Lord and contradict his gracious word. Hymn 961.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.